Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
EC Dub. It's been a while. Been a while since we did a ECW match, Jeff. I'm pumped. As always, this is Tom. I'm with Jeff. This is The Payoff. We're covering some ECW, Jeff. But first, how the hell are you doing?
Doing good. I'm feeling extreme today, you know? I gotta say it.
You took it a little far, man. I'm looking at you right now, and it looks like you bladed your forehead.
I did. I know. See, I'm sitting here actually. There's a bent, you know, metal chair next to me in honor of, you know, this match. I'm not wearing a dog collar. Thank God. That would be a little awkward, but we're friends, but we're not that good of friends. So, you know, this is just one where, you know, everybody always wants us to do more ECW. And so we're doing more ECW.
Plain dude, and you picked out this one, and I'm curious why you did here in a second. Yeah. But what I love about it is you did a deep dive, man. This is hardcore TV. It's Gangster's Paradise. We're in 1995, man. So this is 2 years, well, a year and a half before the first ever pay-per-view. So this is just when they put together these badass little hardcore TV shows, and we're just kind of a regional promotion, and maybe you'd get your hands on some tapes or at 2 o'clock in the morning when it was on your local access channel. If you were on the East Coast, you'd catch this shit. But this is good, man. I don't think I've ever seen this match, so I'm pretty pumped to cover it. Why did you want to cover it? Because this was your selection.
Yeah, and this is the kind of series of matches that I had picked, and this was one where I think that I had just been kind of looking, not like a little bit was like the time frame, because it, you know, we kind of look and see like events, and as we've been kind of getting out a little bit more of a timeline, you know, when, you know, obviously this episode, you know, airing and kind of what happens and things like that. It was just at this point, like, you know, it was a couple weeks ago, barely, when, you know, when we're airing versus when this match happened back in 1995. But then also, like, you know, one of the things that, you know, just looking at the different matches that were happening, this match just kept popping up. And you definitely know way more about ECW than I do. You know, Raven, you know, great guest that we've had on the show before. Everybody loves when we have Raven on the show. And I think part of what interested me the most with this one was not just because, you know, I kept seeing it pop up as like, hey, this is a really good match, but, like it really did predate so much of, you know, I say when ECW went mainstream. And so it's for me to kind of watch some of this stuff. And even we had to dig in the network a little bit. Well, you know, you can explain to everybody how to find the match later, but this is one too, where you just kind of dig a little bit, but I think that this is one of those gems, hopefully, that we're happy that we kind of dug back up to find.
Yeah, I'm pumped just to cover it because, you know, I haven't seen much of the Pitbulls, the tag team. Love Raven stuff. I love that this is 1995. And again, if I've seen this match, man, it's been a long time, and I'm guessing I probably never have. So I'm just excited to dig into something that's a little bit older. So let's not delay it anymore, man. Let's jump right into it. It is time for The Build.
Ho! Oh, it's time for The Build.
So, almost as always in this era, we are in the quote-unquote ECW arena, which I'm sure many of you know this, but some of you may not, is a sometimes bingo hall at this time in South Philadelphia. Not exactly an affluent part of town in Philadelphia, from what I understand. I was there, Jeff, on business. This is probably 6 or 7 years ago. I did not have time to make it down there. I wish I would have. The building is still there. It's been upgraded to a nicer facility. They still do a variety of events. you know, it's probably one of those things you'd go there, you'd be like, yeah, this is it. But at the time, it was a magical place. And for those of you that are watching this match with us, you'll get to see what we're talking about. So September 19th, 1995 is when this event took place. Philly, ECW Arena, 1,100 in attendance. Many of the regulars are there for this. Let me just run through this card for you. And as always, man, there's just a variety of stuff happening here. Sometimes you forget, Jeff, just who was and wasn't in ECW and who may have stopped by for a cup of coffee at some point. So started off with Bull Payne defeating the Broad Street Bully. Can't tell you I'm too familiar with either of their body of work. Then we get an incarnation of the Dudleys defeating Chad Austin and Don E. Allen. Then Hack Myers would defeat J.T. Smith by countout. Then Jason and the Eliminators defeated Taz and the Steiner Brothers. I did not, 20-minute match, I did not remember the Steiner Brothers ever being in ECW. And the Eliminators, Jeff, that's a tag team. I'd like to cover one of their matches. Maybe we find their best ever match. I remember them being awesome and super, super underrated, but I maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. I'd like to see Cronus and Saturn, you know, in a great match of theirs at some point.
Didn't they have the like top bottom finisher, the Eliminators?
The Eliminator, yeah. So one guy would do like a roundhouse kick, and the other one would take out their legs. I thought it was one of the top tag team finishers of all time, and it was the way they did it was just super stiff and devastating. Then the match we're here to cover, which is the Pitbulls against Raven and Stevie Richards. World Tag Team Championship, 2 out of 3 falls, dog collar match. Pumped to cover that. The card would go on to have Rey Mysterio Jr. defeating Psychosis, and then Mikey Whipwreck and the Public Enemy defeating Too Cool Scorpio, New Jack, and Sandman in a Gangster's Paradise cage match. Jeff, this looks like a pretty damn good card, huh?
I'm surprised nobody died in that final match with New Jack in there. Like this whole card, there's a, you know, and you said it, like, this is actually a debuting Rey Mysterio and Psychosis in ECW. So like you said, coming through for the cup of coffee, like, you know, there it's some big names on this one. Like,
I believe if I'm not mistaken, I'm almost positive, let me just pull it up real quick, there was also a Cactus Jack promo on this show. Yep. Oh, yep. And by the way, who else debuted? Oh, just Steve Austin showed up. So my goodness, man, this show was loaded. I want to go back and watch the whole show.
And this was, and like you said, this was before like pay-per-views. Like, it was such a weird time. Yeah.
Well, this is kind of the best they could do was, you know, they would do these, you know, for lack of a better term, super cards. And man, they had some guys coming through just really, really good stuff. So I'm now even more excited to watch this match. Storyline standpoint, Jeff, how do we get to this match?
Yeah, so this was just interesting. I'll kind of cover everybody in kind of different phases here. There's a lot that was at play. We kind of go back in time a little bit on some of this. But, you know, for everybody to kind of remember that this Gangster's Paradise, which, yes, it was inspired by the Coolio song Gangster's Paradise, which Tom and I both big fans, of course. Who doesn't love Coolio? But so September 19th, 1995 was when this show took place. But we're going to go back. It was actually April 1992. You had the Pitbulls debuting. It was ECW, that they were competing actually in a battle royal. It was to crown the first ECW heavyweight champion. Neither of them was successful. There it is. Tom pulled it up for us. Thank you. Yep.
Yeah, you know,
who doesn't love it, you know? And this was in the TV promos for the show, which how could it not be?
Like, they keep in mind, they didn't have the license to do any of this music like this or Enter Sandman or anything else.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And so it was actually, like my kind of research, it was about a month prior to this was when the song was released. So it was when this song was hot, like, and so, and to have it out there. So So really good stuff. But
I'm not going to stop playing it. Keep going.
DJ Tom spinning beats. That's okay. So what we've got. So you just wanted to hear the chorus. Yep. So,
no, I want you to keep talking. I'm playing it in the background.
Oh my god, you can't hear it. You can't hear me over it. You got to turn it down a little bit. So
I have my headphones on. I can't hear how loud it is.
It's very loud, actually.
hey, yeah. Look. I'm sure that this isn't news to any of our loyal listeners. This is not our full-time gig. We both have jobs. Right. So our, you know, I as much as I'd love to pipe in music, you know, we have nice microphones. We do our best, but yeah, just played it on my phone and
we're just hanging out. Yeah.
Absolutely. We're
don't sue us, like, free rights. I think that was under 30 seconds. We're okay. So, we'll be all right. So, I guess who don't know. I heard he was a listener of the show. Who knows? But so, of course, so again, not winning the championship, neither one getting there. So you actually had, so the Pitbulls, you have, you know, one of them, who was Anthony, was known as the Pitbull. He actually won the television championship in 1994. You then had Pitbull 2, so you had both of them reuniting at kind of different times, the kind of where the names came from. So you had Pitbull 1 and Pitbull 2, how you kind of see them, like, you know, noted at some points. So they had a feud. It was with Public Enemy and then also Bad Breed. Just a lot of different feuds, really culminating in November to Remember, where they lost a match, or if they had lost, they would have had them in split up, but they actually won that match. So again, like defeating the Broad Street Bullies at Three Way Dance. This was actually April 1995, just a few months before this. And because you had the match at this point stipulated that if they lost, the Broad Street Bullies, that they would be fired from the Raven's Nest. And so since the Pit Bulls won, they, like, you know, the Broad Street left and the Pit Bulls joined. Now, this was, I say, OG Raven's Nest. Like, this was, it was Raven, it was Stevie Richard, it was the Pit Bulls, and it was Beulah, and that was it. Like, and so when you look at the list of members, and we'll talk about some people that kind of joined later as this kind of, you know, the build and the aftermath in this, but this was very early in the Raven's Nest and what was kind of happening. So you had then, it was actually Hardcore Heaven. It was July 1995 of that year. It was the Dudley Brothers, but not the Dudleys as we know them now. Again, I didn't realize there were so many Dudleys in the Dudley family.
There were.
There was a lot. And so this was Snot and Dudley Dudley.
I didn't know there was a Snot Dudley.
I didn't either. And so taking on the Pitbulls, of course, and then, you know, Raven and Stevie Richards and Beulah, the kind of helping as well too. So this was also the debut, like, a lot happening, a lot of debuts, a lot of players in this one, but this match at Hardcore Heaven was also the debut of show favorite, one of our favorite people on the planet, Francine, as well too. So sitting in the crowd and then her actually kind of getting involved in the match. And because of what happened, and that Francine, she was kissing Stevie Richards and, you know, just like her distracting, and then Raven and Stevie Richards leaving ringside, it just kind of everything happening. What happened was the Pitbulls ended up losing the match because of the distraction. So in a match later that evening, at the Hardcore Heaven, you had Raven and Stevie Richards. They were defending the World Tag Team Championship against Tommy Dreamer and Luna Vachon. It was actually near the end of the match where Vachon, she actually hit a superplex on Richards, but then you had, you know, Beulah getting involved in the match and Richards and Raven, you know, retaining the title. So just a lot of weird things, you know, the Pit Bulls, like how they were involved in each other's matches, them just kind of, you know, working and things like that. And so, but it was after the match, and because like the Pit Bulls match had been cost, or you know, they had lost their match earlier in the night because of Francine and the involvement and kind of what was happening. You know, the Pit Bulls came out to the ring, you know, some pushing and shoving. They wanted them to go after Luna Vachon, didn't want to do it. The Pit Bulls did didn't. And so they ended up turning on Raven and Stevie Richards at this event because of, you know, them not wanting to work anymore. So you had them again, and this is the long feud with Raven and Tommy Dreamer. So a new player to this one, the Pitbulls then aligning themselves with Tommy Dreamer against, you know, Raven, Stevie Richards, and, you know, really nobody else in the Raven's nest at that point. So you also had, like, Francine aligning herself with the Pitbulls during this time as well, too, just kind of what was happening. This was the I went back and watched some videos of this. This was the she wore the outfit a lot, but like the leather clad kind of her outfit matched what the Pitbulls were as well, too.
Francine, another friend of the payoff.
Yes, of course. Francine, big friend. And so and again, you had just this back and forth. Now, moving forward a little bit more, we had Heat Wave. It was July 15th, 1995. You had Dreamer and the Pitbulls beating Raven and the Dudley Brothers at this event.
By the way, all of those Heat Waves are good. Like every year, yes. Heat Wave was always good.
And this was the famous, no other way, you know, as they state it and what it is, the famous chair shot heard round the world. Yep. And so go back and watch the video of this. This is the Raven, and it goes, this is the Heat Wave. Raven handcuffed to the steel cage, like just, you know, beat to hell, draped up against it, kind of, you know, standing but hanging there. And Tommy Dreamer just no hesitation whatsoever, just a full-on chair shot right to Raven's head, plain and simple. And so one of the reviews I read, like, because the show, they weren't a big fan of the show, it said, mild recommendation to avoid unless you've never seen the chair shot heard around the world. So it's just kind of interesting, you know, how that kind of played out. So we talked a little bit about Cactus Jack at the, you know, being a show hit, WrestlePalooza.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang. It was an 8-man tag team. And this is, again, like...
Do you know how Bang, Bang was came about? Have you ever heard him tell the story?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay, so the first time he did it, he does the elbow drop off the apron onto the floor. And he, for whatever reason, he said he had the song Bang, Bang on the door, baby. Like, you know that song?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that was what he was doing. He's like, bang, bang, on the – I mean, obviously it came across like bang, bang, but, like, that's what he was doing.
Yes, got it. Okay.
So there you go. See, that's, there you go. That's the origin story. Trivia. Straight from Mick Foley.
Yep. So so you had the WrestlePalooza, though. The match at that point was Raven, Stevie Richards, and the Dudley Brothers taking on Tommy Dreamer, Cactus Jack, and the Pitbulls. It was actually Cactus who turned on Dreamer at the end of that match and joined the Raven's Nest. And so I don't think before I kind of started doing research that Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, was a member of the Raven's Nest back in 1995. That was something that I learned today. And so, you know, interesting here, though, that because of this and like some matches that Stevie Richards had been in, and we start this match when Tom gives you the time, this is kind of set as a dog collar match, and we'll see that when we get into it. But then Beulah stating that Stevie Richards, because he had broken his arm the prior evening, that he wasn't going to be there. And so this was also going to be a 2 out of 3 falls match. And so it's how you got the dog collar plus the 2 out of 3 falls. And when you're like, where is he when we kind of start this match? It's because that was part of, I say, you know, we will see what happens by the end of this. But part of what was kind of happening in the storyline was that Raven is alone at the start of this match. So. A lot of weird pieces to this. Like I was actually like, I spent a lot of time kind of digging and kind of seeing where things went and kind of who was involved when, and the kind of the nuances of the story. But you've got really at its core, like the Pitbulls getting screwed and not liking the Raven and Stevie Richards. That's really what it boils down to. And it really, a couple months, you know, it would have been, you know, and Tommy Dreamer, of course, having to be involved is, you know, one of the faces of ECW and things like that, at least how I associate him. And so, you know, kind of having that. So a lot of pieces to this, but at its core, just kind of, you know, even though it wasn't pay-per-view, like, you know, some decent storytelling, and then we get to the match. So Tom, you want to get us into this and tell us the time and go from there. Or your thoughts on all that, too? He couldn't resist.
Those are my thoughts. All right. So this is going to take a little explanation to find, but if you want to find this match on the WWE Network, Gangster's Paradise 1995, it's in-ring action, ECW Hardcore TV 1995, and then the episode date, Jeff, is
September 19th.
So if you can find all that, hit pause if you need to. September 19th, 1995, ECW Hardcore TV. This match, we're going to start it at the 22-minute, 30-minute mark. 22 minutes, 30 seconds, Gangster's Paradise 1995, if you want to watch it with us. I suggest watching the whole show, but watch this match with us. So, Jeff, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
All right, dude.
We're ready? Here we go.
Hey, we're here. Packed crowd. Everyone's pumped for this match. They are absolutely all on their feet for this.
It's right out of the gate, you got the dog collar. Now, let's start with, I have not seen any clips of this match at all.
Me neither. Okay.
Other than my kind of reading, that's it.
So is the idea that each guy is attached to one of their opponents? Like, should the other pit bull be attached to the dog collar of
how it should have Richards? Been, yes.
Okay.
Yes, how it should have been.
So we really don't know what's going to transpire. We're 30 seconds into the match and Raven is being hung.
Yes.
All right, so we have a pit bull going to the locker room, and by locker room, I don't even know what it was, DCW Arena. But
I thought when we were talking to Francine, I thought she said it was just like a bathroom with a trough.
Yeah, and then, of course, she's a woman, so like she's just – I don't even know if she even had a private area. Yeah, pretty bad. So
I do appreciate the guy in the front row. Like I made the comment about all the Dudleys. His sign was Sign Guy Dudley.
And there was a Sign Guy Dudley. There actually was a Sign Guy Dudley.
And he's got the glasses. Yep.
Yeah.
And so, right out of the gate here, and everybody's still on their feet, but Raven really, like you said, just getting hung over the top rope.
Now he's getting blasted in the forehead. I'm wondering if a blade job's coming. A chair shot right to the head. Oh, CW faithful.
I think something that we're just going to have to expect on this one. And this is, too, like the pit bulls kind of really wrestling as the faces in this one, too. And so it kind of they're, you know, representing, you know, who's who on this.
Okay, game. Richards, I've never seen anyone come out of the locker room already bladed before. But Stevie Richards in his tiny little jorts, stonewashed ones nonetheless, just getting pounded in the forehead, already bleeding. Dude in front of him is just going nuts. Inside the ring, we got a table coming in already. Raven's out. I mean, I think this is just going to be a brutal match.
Because we heard him, we have
chair shot to the head.
Yep, another chair shot. Joey Styles on
commentary. Oh my God!
Of course, yes. And so you can't, you know, miss that. And so again, this is right out of the gate here. Raven got the pit bull right up on the table, and oh, Jesus! Right out of the gate, just a.
That it?
That's not it.
That's fall so
there's,
one.
There,
That's
there's your three. Fall one, yes. Okay. And, so, and doing the pile driver through the table.
Table just shattered.
The table exploded, yes, real quick. And so there's your first.
Wow. Okay. We are off to a fast start in this one.
We're in it. We've got tables getting destroyed. We are
Stevie
in it.
Stevie is bleeding.
Yes, like crazy.
Yeah, man, he looks young.
I think we had a commercial break right there. We're now back from commercial. Stevie getting dumped into the ring. You got Raven kind of punching one of the pit bulls.
Why do I have a feeling all four guys are going to be bleeding here soon?
Yeah, and so like you said, Tom, so now I believe –
Double DDT, okay.
Raven is connected to, I believe, Pitbull 1 with his collar, and Stevie Richards is with 2. And so okay. – And so we've got another blade drop. Another one of the pit bulls is now bleeding. So here's part of the issue, too, as you can see.
Ravens here, with pit bull one?
I think.
Okay.
Not sure. And so I'll kind of figure this out real quick.
Oh, boy. Did you just see that?
Oh, boy, yeah. And so they're getting pulled from Yes, Pitbull 2, excuse me, is tied to Raven.
Okay.
And so part of the problem we're already seeing, they cleared that table out of the ring pretty quick.
Yeah. I wonder where they got – where do you think they got these tables from?
Who knows? Yeah, I figured –
because, I mean, like some of them look used. I don't know if, like, they were ones from this – from the bingo hall, and they just said, yeah, we'll give us your older ones and we'll replenish them. Like, I wonder – I've never heard that story. I wonder what the arrangement was.
Was the ECW arena used for something other than ECW?
Well, it was a bingo hall, and they had different events. It was basically like a little rec hall.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, you know more than me. And so that's what I'm trying to figure out is I did not know. I don't know the history of the building. And so, yeah.
Powerbomb through the table. Place going nuts.
Top rope, middle rope, kind of really just tossed him powerbomb. Pitbull 2, 1-2. There's another fall. Jeez.
Okay. All right. 1-1.
So the fan, yeah, 1-1. So, and it's really, there was no downtime yet. They are kicking the crap out of each other.
Oh, okay. Oh, so a little ECW instant replay. I didn't know they had this technology.
And so this was a very you can still see something happening. Yeah, the frame isn't even perfect on it, which is kind of funny. But we're getting the ECW replay of the two table destructions at this point, kind of what's happening. I'm sure there isn't a rest.
Stevie Richards jean shorts. They're the shortest jean shorts I've ever seen a man wear.
Well, you haven't seen me in jean shorts, so, you know, that's what happens. So,
does your ass hang out of them like Stevie's?
I know, but the pockets go like, you know, you can see the pockets underneath the bottom of them. And that's the cool look nowadays. So, you got Raven and Pitbull 2 in the crowd now. I'm not even sure exactly where based on, they're kind of like right there. Yeah.
Stevie is bleeding.
Yeah, he's bleeding bad. And you got Pitbull 1. What is he hitting him with? I can't even really tell.
I don't know what that was. Okay, now we're in the crowd.
We're back into the crowd. This is one, too. When was the last time we've seen a dog collar match?
Oh, the guy, the sign guy Dudley is actually sign guy Dudley, I think.
And which, that would make sense.
Yeah. I guess he used to stand in the crowd.
Which, hey, you know, if that's how you get a paycheck, or
these,
you know,
fans are great.
Get noticed. And so, yeah, they are right kind of front row, just kind of.
They're wrestling in the front row.
Just kind of beating each other up. There's no other way to put it. Stevie, and they only have, like, they're only really showing here. Okay, so now we've switched cameras. I was going to say, we're really only using the hard cam on that for a little bit. And so that was.
Assuming they only had two cameras there.
Yeah, well, you got the one track. And so now you got Raven and Pitbull 2 back in the ring. I'm curious, though. I'd have to dig a little bit. I don't remember the last time we had a dog collar match.
Yeah, I don't know.
And so I remember there was one, like, there was some in ECW and things like that, but it's been a long time. Baron Corbin and Roman had one, I think?
Sounds right.
I don't remember.
Hey, what's with AEW doing all these gimmick matches? Like, their last pay-per-view, I felt like every match was like a gimmick match.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
weren't they supposed to just do like straight wrestling and present it like a sport? And then there's like a fucking mimosa match and all this other bullshit.
Yeah, and I think they've gotten away a little bit from that. And like, I know recently.
Remember that? Hey, we're going to present it as a sport. And then you have the
ref bump. Don't miss it. Yep. And so, yeah, but they do keep the record still. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, oh, we're going to present a sport. And then it's like you have the owner talking about how it's fake right afterwards. Oh. Dudleys.
And here come not the Dudleys as we know them, you know, Devon and Bubba Ray or, you know, thing, you know, but I am enjoying the overalls and the tie-dye shirt look though. And so, but having that, so now just.
I believe the guy on the right is Big Dick Dudley, if I'm not mistaken.
And so now we've got really, again, this was the Dudleys kind of working with, Raven and Stevie Richard at this point. Both of them kind of beating down the pit bulls at this point. We're going for dueling top rope power bombs.
One.
There's one. There's two. Yep.
Whoa.
Whoa. No sell. Ooh. And the Pitbulls jumping right back up. And the Dudleys not paying attention. Here we go.
Double DDTs.
Double DDTs now.
Pitbulls are over, man. They love them.
Yep.
Isn't it amazing Joey Styles did commentary by himself?
He did. Yeah, I know.
Almost always.
And so now just the Pitbulls really just – I mean, and this is – I don't want to call it spot fest after spot fest. Like, these guys are just doing move after move and just
– I wouldn't exactly call it a clinic on psychological wrestling.
No. And so, again, more pop – or more power bombs from
– seems to make power bombs off the top rope in my life.
Yeah. And so the Pitbulls just kind of really just it's a power bomb fest, you know, not unlike a super kick fest, like, you know, or a super kick party. We're just having a power bomb fest over here.
That's so. The worst, man. That shit is so I don't know. Maybe because I'm a HBK mark, but the whole like super kick fest thing is so stupid.
One of my favorites was when Adam Cole, like when he was in Ring of Honor and kind of got super kicked out of the Bullet Club so he could come over to WWE. That was there have been some good super kicks. Like we've said it on the show, like the best one for me is still always and forever Shelton Benjamin just getting his head kicked off. But, you know, and again, so Raven, another powerbomb. I blinked for a second.
Is that five now?
And so the ref finally coming together after his bump. Yep. I don't, are we finally going to get another pin here? Going for it. One, two, and oh, the kick out. Still 1-1. Look at that. Good stuff. A lot of not focusing on the competitors in the match, just going after the Dudleys at this point, which it looks like the Dudleys have cleared out. Trying not to get their dog leashes tangled in each other. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably a little harder when it's a tag team match versus just one-on-one.
Well, and we say a tag team match, I think we need to use that term loosely because nobody's really ever been in their corner. Well, so
it's ECW, buddy.
Hey, it's ECW. I know the tag rules do not apply. Here comes another table into the ring at this point. And so, where we're at this point in the match, and Tom, you've watched a lot more ECW than I have over the years. Scale of, you know, one to, you know, somebody dying extreme. As of right now in this match, where do you rank this in regards to level of extreme?
Kind of run of the mill. And I don't say it's a bad thing, but it's kind of in the middle. I mean, it's not the most extreme stuff they've ever done, but it's, you know, well, you know what? I said that before what we're about to witness. So let me give you that after the match. How's that sound?
That's fair. Okay.
I mean, look at this. Two tables stacked up.
This is two tables stacked up on the outside of the ring with Pitbull 2 across it.
Oh, okay.
That didn't work. Okay.
Raven tried to do a leg drop.
Yep.
On
half
top.
Breaking the table.
Now what's he going to do? So one table's gone. Now elbow drop.
Oh, my God. That table broke.
A little sloppy.
Yeah, that was a little sloppy. But I think that was intended. You know?
So this is kind of – this is a – you know, this is probably like a 6 on a 1 to 10 scale of ECW extreme. Maybe even like a 7.
If that spot had worked, it would have been a little different. Yeah. So now it looks like we just there's a
suplex.
Yeah, it was just a normal ring or a match at this point.
Keep in mind, this is 1995. So if you were, you know, this is Saturday night. Let's say Sunday morning, you put on WWF Superstars. What are you going to be getting?
Not this.
That's yeah, exactly. I mean, that was the real campy WWF bullshit
doink,
at that time.
You know, maybe
you'd be getting Doink and Crush's feud.
Right, exactly. So Stevie Richards now. Ooh, that was – oh, so he climbed the top rope, and then Pitbull pulled him off, and so he hung up by his man parts on the top rope. Not great. Oh, my God. And there goes – is that table – I've lost count. We need someone like the –
is Raven unattached from his Pitbull?
That's what it looks like to me, yes.
Sure does.
Yep, and so now we've got that happening.
Not the best camera view right there.
That was not the best camera. Who wears short shorts, you know? So,
Eula in the ring.
Eula in the ring. Here we go. What's she doing? Yep. And that's one too. We don't talk about her a lot. She's one too, kind of having to find. Is this the trainer now? I don't know if that's a trainer, but
cat fight.
And here we go. The crowd going nuts because who has joined the ring with even shorter shorts? Francine going after Beulah.
Uh-oh. This does. Oh, jeez.
Oh.
This doesn't age well, does it?
No.
25 years ago, Francine a stiff DDT.
But when we had the opportunity.
115-pound woman just took a stiff DVD from Raven.
And we hooked it.
Pitbull 2 being carted out by.
Just flat stretcher, yeah.
Is there a cop ringside?
Probably.
I think so, on the left. Tommy Dreamer.
And so here we go. The ring is filled with tables and refs.
Tommy Dreamer putting Raven's dog collar on him. Dreamer kind of almost replaced Pitbull, too.
From a weird
Dreamer with a knee to Raven's nuts.
From a weird, I say, storyline match, like plot perspective, that actually makes sense. But I don't, well, Tommy Dreamer getting the pin doesn't make sense, but sure, why not? Okay. So that's Tommy Dreamer getting 2-1, putting the Pitbulls up. And yeah.
That's your match.
And that's how it happens. That's.
Dreamer just beat Raven in the center of the ring. It's like that's the first time that's ever happened. New tag team champions.
And that's, yeah, something that we had not focused on was, yes. And so the new tag team champs now, the Pitbulls, winning the belts from Raven and Stevie Richards. Yeah. We have shenanigans, though.
There you go. Oh, wait, hold on. Referee Bill Alfonso.
Tommy Dreamer, you're dreaming again. Pay attention to me. Pay attention to me. You're dreaming. First of all, I am Bill Alfonso. I am a master deathmatch. 2 out of 3 falls. That wasn't in the contract. Second of all, I allow this. I allow that.
Bill Alfonso is not happy.
Keep your hands off of me.
The Dudley's in the ring. Dreamer taking his shirt off.
Falling into madness at this point.
Why do I think Bill Alfonso is about to get the shit kicked out of him?
Todd Gordon in there too. Yep.
Todd Gordon is saying the match is over. So, yeah, you know, you think about all the Todd Gordon now giving it to Bill Alfonso.
And so, and something to think about here, like, the match is over.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Oh, choke slam to Dreamer.
Yes.
All right. Well, as you said, a lot of shenanigans to end this one, huh?
Yeah, and so you do have, like, and so here again, and now to, like, yeah, here, Big Dick. Now here's Big Dick, who is a giant man. Yep.
There's 911 right there.
Yep. And so 9-1-1-2, and oh my god.
Building to this 9-1-1 choke slam on Bill Alfonso. Is this finally the night that he gets him? Place going nuts. I mean, he's about to put his... Boom. Place going ballistic.
And so it's still actually.
And you can say whatever you want about ECW, man, but do they look entertained?
Well, and this is where, like, we're kind of letting it play out because actually the match, the match isn't technically, is it over?
It's over.
They've overturned the decision and now we're back to it's not over, I think.
Borden allowed it to end.
And so, yeah. And so now you got Pitbull 2 back in the ring. Like, just shenanigans. There's no other way to put it.
Wow. Well, hey, that was good. I liked it.
Yeah. And so
more of a beatdown coming now, man.
Yeah. And so again, you've got both pit bulls. You've got 911. You've got Tommy Dreamer.
Another powerbomb off the top rope.
And here we go. Oh my God. That was terrible looking.
Oh God.
But again, here we go. There's,
oh, Jesus.
Oh yeah. That they didn't hold that one for very long. They took a big tumble. But again, apparently in all the shenanigans, the match was overturned because they just counted it again. And now once again, we have the tag team champions, the Pit Bulls.
I'll tell you, man, never a dull moment in ECW. All right.
You really got to pay close attention to this one because you lose track of kind of what's happening and what's going on. But with the crowd going apeshit, though, you've got the Pit Bulls celebrating. There you go, with Tommy Dreamer and 911 hanging out in the ring. Okay.
All right. Let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right, we're back.
That was shenanigans. There's no other way to call that one. What were your thoughts, man?
Gangster's Paradise, man. Holy hell. There's a lot that just went on there. Whew.
Yeah.
That was absolutely action-packed 20 minutes, man. Never. There was not a dull moment. There was not a rest hold. There was a lot of blood, a lot of violence. I was entertained, man.
It was interesting because I think there was only really like 10 minutes of match, but that was a 20-minute long affair. So
yeah, why the hell not, man? That was fun. Yeah, I liked it.
There were some good moves. And I say spots, things like that. A lot of things happening on that one, definitely for sure. So
all right, why don't you tell me how Meltzer thinks I should feel about that match?
Well, we kind of just very little happened. I say, you know, some notes of kind of what happened.
Yeah, what do you have for us?
This was the Pit Bulls' only tag team championship.
Really? Only reign. Okay.
Their only reign. They actually were soon, because of like kind of what happened in the match, you know, with Francine being their manager and being the Beastmaster, you know, was a part of her. And so they only held the title for a month or so, actually, because they lost them right back to Raven and Stevie Richards. And so the Pit Bulls then kind of moved on and had a feud with the Eliminators, which again, yes, this was Francine taking the total elimination was part of the big storyline on this one, which I did go back and kind of catch some of those. Like, yeah, that was, she caught a hell of a move on that one. And so, but again, for, you know, the 3-on-3 dog collar match, it was actually Cyber Slam, February 1996, where you had, Francine, again, it was Francine and the Pit Bulls against Stevie Richards and the Eliminators. You actually had the Pit Bulls winning that match after Richards, he really let, you know, Francine, Richards got pinned after a super bomb. And so, you know, really interesting. I say interesting, but just really these guys kicking the crap out of each other. There's no other way to put it. And so eventually too, just kind of moving on, you know, just you had Tommy Dreamer and Terry Funk beating Raven and Cactus Jack, that, you know, with Raven's kind of, you know, how he was involved in some of these things. They actually got, you know, they won the titles back as well. You know, Raven defeating Tommy Dreamer. It's really, I could go back and forth because I'd say Raven and Tommy Dreamer, then Dreamer and Tommy Raven, and then the other people, like, they just all had a bunch of matches over really the next couple of months where they were kind of going at each other. And so, you know, but this was how this was contained, and like, you know, these guys kind of going at it, it was good stuff. So you ask about the reviews. The interesting thing here was, because this was not really like a true, you know, I say pay-per-view or big televised show, there really wasn't any write-ups from this one. You know, you can look and go and see like some individual, like, you know, who is, you know, some, so whoever random guy on the internet is writing, but like, just really the only, like, well, for starters, like the where they were on the PWI on this one for this year, 1995, you had Raven was 114, Stevie Richards was 163, Pitbull 2 was 139, and Pitbull 1 was 142. So they were all kind of in that low, mid kind of 100s. But there was like one little like contributor on the PW Torch that actually gave this match 4 stars. This was not a Meltzer rating. This was just one of the contributors giving it 4 stars. And then you had, again, no review, but just kind of like a write-up from what was happening on the Wrestling Observer. Well, that was PW Torch was just a contributor. But the Wrestling Observer newsletter, again, it was just 3.5 stars on this one. So PW Torch was a contributor giving it 4 stars. The Wrestling Observer newsletter was 3.5 stars, and no review really on either one. And so, like, Tom, I'll turn it to you of just kind of.
So it was well liked. It was well liked.
Yeah, it was definitely well liked. It was not shit over like, you know, some of the matches. And so, thoughts on, you know, what would you score this one, and just kind of where do you put it?
So, you know, I mean, nothing remarkable about it to where you go, wow, that's, you know, that is a classic, or that's an all-timer, or, you know, if you're going to watch one ECW match, that's the one to watch. So nothing like that. But in terms of, hey, did you just enjoy the last 20 minutes of watching that? Absolutely. Crowd was hot as hell. Loved the ECW environment. Some cool spots. Never anything that was anything but action, right? I mean, so nonstop action there. Fun, you know, it's fun watching some of this stuff too, Jeff, because like, you don't remember what happened. So it's like, oh shit, there's Raven. There's, well, not Raven, but there's Dreamer. There's Francine, right? You get these run-ins and 911 and oh my goodness. And then if you went back and watched the whole show, oh gosh, there's Mick Foley and Rey Mysterio Jr. I didn't even know he was in ECW, right? So like, that's what I always love about some of these old random shows. When you put them on, it's like going back and watching an old Royal Rumble and being like, holy shit, I didn't know that guy made an appearance or whatever. So yeah, I like it. I was entertained. Good match to watch. Good show to watch. And it's fun to go back and watch some of these. So, you know, with respect to all the 60 or so matches we've covered at this point, Jeff, I can't throw a high number to it because – it's not Hell in a Cell, right? It's not some of the other stuff that, you know, we've done.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna say it's a 6.5. It was enjoyable. It was fun. You know, good. You know what? No, I'm sorry. I'm gonna give it a 6. I think a 6 is probably the right number. That's where I have it. Fun to watch, but I can't give it anything better than that. But it's definitely one to go back and watch, and you'll be entertained. What about you?
I'm at a 5.5.
Okay.
I was entertained. I think like in ring, like wrestling, there wasn't a whole lot of that. Like, and so I can't really, you know, based on that, but there was a lot of back and forth with the build. I think that it was a lot of like, you know, just the Heyman booking and kind of what was happening at that time was the feuds. They did have a lot of back and forth, and they knew how to generate heat or like, you know, get a positive reaction. And we saw that throughout the match where most people weren't sitting through like, or, you know, they were standing through the majority of the match. And so, and I think, you know, we've seen some other ECW matches where there's just a lot crazier things happening. And so I think on that scale, yeah, now that we're at the end of the match, it wasn't too nuts. I mean, there was a lot of table spots, but, you know, our tables getting broken and moves through tables, but that was really it. So yeah, I think that like a 5.5 just makes sense to me. Well, it was, you know, again, it wasn't bad to me in any way. And even the chair shots weren't terrible. Like, yes, a chair shot to the head is bad, but they didn't look as bad as like they could have. So I think at the 5.5, it was respectable, and it's one where, you know, we see it as one of the better, you know, or more well-liked matches in ECW, and I can understand why. So 5.5 for me.
Yeah, and don't take our payoff scores being like, oh, 5.5 and 6, why would I go watch that? It's a really good match. You know, our payoff score is about the build, the payoff, the aftermath. And, yeah, I mean, it wasn't a classic build. It wasn't classic aftermath. There's no real historical value to the match. It's more of just a really good 20-minute or so wrestling match, angle, interference, all that. So really good, well worth watching. So,
absolutely,
Jeff, that's all I got. Anything else to close us out?
I don't think so. This is good stuff. We hope to bring another ECW match to everybody in the near future because we know.
Well, we're the ones that pick the matches, so yeah, we can do whatever the hell we want.
We will, and I know we've got fans out there.
Well, November, you got November to Remember coming up, so we definitely got to cover some November. We'll get at least one. You know, we'll get a November to Remember match. We'll probably get two different Survivor Series matches.
We got some stuff in there.
October's Halloween Havoc. We got a lot of good stuff to cover.
We got stuff, absolutely.
Okay.
So send us home, my friend.
All right. Well, as always, you can find us at Payoff Pod. We appreciate you listening, and thanks for joining us on The Payoff.